Welcome to Contagious Podcast, Contagious Conversations for Automotive Innovation. Today, I am so excited to talk to a very new friend of mine, Lori Halter. Lori is an incredible person that is a champion of women, a champion of all people, a champion of software and technology in the automotive space. She is one of those people that is lifting others up and drawing other people to high places. And I get to have a conversation with her, particularly because it is International Women's Day. That was earlier in the week that this was recorded, as well as this is National Women's Month. And so I wanted to talk to her about what she's seeing with women in automotive, talk to her about her passion through careering. And I think that as you listen to this conversation today, you're going to be encouraged and maybe even take away some practical ways that you can go today and make an impact in the automotive industry. So I'm excited to share with you this conversation with Lori today. So Lori, I am so excited to have you on today and hang out. We were just talking before we jumped on the phone, how you feel like over the past year, you started this podcast of your own and you're like, oh, Kyle, but I have this whole other big thing that I do in my life. But now everybody's interviewing me for Women in Automotive. And so I'm that guy.
I love it. Bring it.
Yeah. So, okay. So it's Women's History Month. We're in the middle of it in March. And so I'm doing that whole podcaster thing where I'm just going to grab that and run with it. And I'm excited that you get to help me have that conversation. So I guess my first question for you is as you look back on your like history in automotive, because you've been in a bunch of different spaces, particularly on the vendor tech side, and you've had growth and you've watched others grow. And then, all of that probably, I'm guessing, kind of led you to this place where at some point you said, I need to have some element of championing women in our industry. Tell me about how that kind of came about and where that kind of that light bulb went for you and then why that came to be.
Yeah, great question. You know, what's funny is it didn't even come necessarily from automotive. So like a year and a half ago, I do have a PR firm in addition, but hey, I'm all about being the spokesperson for women. I love it. But I've had my PR firm now for almost 2 decades. And I really got to a point where I think a lot of entrepreneurs do. I think of myself as like a true entrepreneur. I get so bored so easily, which I think is why I love launching companies. I want to like launch and then just go. But I got kind of bored and I was like looking around thinking, what can really give me that spark again? I'm just feeling a little sort of stifled and women empowerment was what it was. And so careering, my podcast is what was born about a year and a half ago, never intended for it to be automotive only. The idea was supposed to be, I'll have women come onto the show, interview them about how they're making it work, like how they have their career and their family and their life and make it work. Of course, this was before COVID too, right? So it's a whole new, like balance is a whole new struggle for women right now. But it's really kind of evolved over the last year and a half. It's a really beautiful platform for me to speak about women and how we can empower women, and specifically in automotive. So it's kind of like this nice little convergence of all of my different things, PR, being a female, automotive, leadership, entrepreneurship into one nice, result. So, but I do feel so fortunate. I mean, I talk to a lot of women about how it's so important to support one another. And I talk about the importance of mentorship, the importance of like really lifting other women up that are coming behind you. I think we have a huge responsibility as females in this space to help the women coming behind us continue the, the engagement and the stories and the success. So it's all wrapped into one.
You know, I love what you were keying in on there is like, it's not, the reality is that there are incredible women in our space and across other verticals that have accomplished and done amazing things. And your story and other stories have been told and are being told more and more often. And I love that you're a part of that. But what I'm hearing a lot, and we did some stuff on diversity with Erica last month. And What I'm hearing a lot is this like mentorship role that, that the people that are in leadership that have come through this is that there's a mentorship expectation, specifically from women. And then I also, I want you to talk to that. And then I've got kind of a follow-up question on that too, but like, talk to me about what it looks like for women to specifically mentor other women into the roles that, that are the continuum of what they are allowing in the industry.
Yeah, no, I think, and I think it's interesting. You would have some idea on this too. I think we're doing a better job probably on the tech side than we are on the dealership side in terms of, you know, promoting and bringing women into the fold. So we really need to do some work there. But yeah, I think mentorship, for me, it all comes down to just support, support, because I've spoken with so many women who are at my point in their career. So 20, 25 years in, who say, I never until this last 5 years felt supported by other women. I think there was this like very competitive element that happened in automotive for the last 10 to 15 years. And for me, mentorship means like, how can we all who are in leadership roles continue to support the women coming up through the ranks? And you do that by helping make introductions. I think that's like networking and introductions, continuing encouragement, and also just giving them our knowledge, right? Of what we've been through, how we've dealt with things, and how they can best move up the ranks. But for me, I'm a big connection person. So I think personal connections and networking is the number one thing we can do for the women that are coming up behind us. And actually the women in my role, I think like women across the board, I just love connecting with them and supporting them.
Yeah, I think that's really big. Especially in automotive, I think there's this weird, I don't even know what to call it, but essentially like we have this competitive mindset that, that says we can't network and we can't share whatever everybody else is doing or benefiting from. And like, okay, maybe I'm okay sharing that with someone like 10 states away, but across the street. No, I would never tell them, or I would never work with them, or I would never engage with them. Yet I see other industries and they're like, you got two tech companies sitting in the same room together that are competitors going, how do we help each other? You know?
Yeah.
And I think you probably have seen that. And I think
Not so much in automotive, but think about like open architecture behind the scenes. You've got software companies that are using the same code at the bottom of the, you know, platform to build up their own solution. So I absolutely think that's the case. And like Sarah Callahan is a very, very good friend of mine. She owns Carter West, which is I was going to say a competing PR firm, but I won't even say competing. We're very close. We share information all the time about clients. Like, so she feels and I feel like there's enough for everyone. There's enough to go around. So this whole competitive, be out there, be the first, I'm not buying it for our industry.
I love it. I was actually I had a conversation with someone this morning on the phone. It's like, there are thousands of dealerships, thousands of tech companies, thousands of all this. And like, if we just draw everybody and go, hey, let's do this thing called getting better together.
Right.
Whoa.
Exactly.
How cool would that look like for other industries looking into the automotive industry, right? If we as an industry said, oh yeah, we're going to get better about how we engage women together. Like, we're not going to be like, oh, we're the best dealership at doing women in automotive. Right. So nobody else knows how to do it. Right.
Yes.
What if we all decided that we were going to move forward together? Right.
So incredible. And I was talking about this. I think if you do that, if you decided upon that, what would happen is women would just naturally be hired more. They would just naturally be promoted into leadership positions. And I know this is the dirty word, but let's not just talk women, let's talk race. I mean, I think what happens is we all get like scared when we're talking inclusivity and we go straight to gender. But like, just think of how beautiful it would be if we just had a collective intelligence to raise all, you know, all minority groups into leadership roles and give them the number one thing I hear when I talk to women is a growth path. They're just looking for a path to growth, to get that next promotion, get to the next leadership level. And I think when they walk into a dealership and you see a woman as the sales manager or a female as the general manager, that's so empowering. I think that's really exciting to females coming into the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I say this a lot is like the people reflect the leadership.
Yes.
And that goes for every part of that. It's not just like their habits and their processes. It's the type of people that they are. And so we not just have to be willing to hire these people into the industry. We have to be willing to grow them and show a career path to whoever these new incredible people are that we haven't even met yet that are outside of the industry that are going to come in and support you and myself and other people like us, you know, in this innovative change, right?
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what you were saying, which is that needs to be authentic though. You can't be doing that because you're like, we've got a, you know, thing on the books that says this next year, we're going to be more female friendly. It needs to authentically come from leadership and they want to really actually make change. And then it happens, you know, so it can't just be kind of a checklist on your box of things to do for 2021.
Yeah. So I want to circle back. You kind of drew that line between like tech and dealership, right? And I think you're probably right there. What are the key things for you that you're seeing are the barriers that tech maybe doesn't have or has broken down that the dealership world has or hasn't been able to break down?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I think the biggest is that the women I've talked to who currently have roles in dealerships did not know they were going to interview at a dealership when they first accepted the interview. So for instance, like they would get a call from a recruiter and they were already kind of far down the line by the time recruiter was like, oh, by the way, this is that, you know, XYZ automotive. So I think part of it, I don't put it all on dealerships. It's breaking down that idea that dealerships are a bad place to work or a place that you can't get ahead. I think right now there's this kind of perception that like, if you're a female, don't go into the automotive space. That's a terrible career path. Well, I know women who have rocked it. Maureen Bailey actually is at one of the Lithia dealerships. She just became GM. So I think it's definitely showing that there's a career path for women. And I think part of it would be, and we have it planned out and here's what it is, right? We haven't probably as an industry done a great job of showing that this is a progressive place to work and somewhere to come. So I think really that, but it's getting there. I have to tell you, I started in this industry in 1999 and we have made huge strides in the last two decades. And a lot of it has been male allies who are like, okay, this has to change. We need to figure this out. So I so appreciate discussions like these because it does need to change.
Yeah, for sure. So I've heard a few people use this allies. And I want you to break that down for us. Like, how functionally being an ally, because we're having this conversation. That's cool. I'm glad to be a part of this conversation, but I can have this conversation all day and still not be an ally. I think I'm just thinking, right? Break it down, like what a functional and active ally does, not just a passive ally, but what does an active ally do in our industry to ensure?
That's such a great question. And you're probably not going to love my answer because honestly, I think an ally is just pushing these discussions to the forefront. And whether it's genuine or not, I feel like anyone who's willing to, this is uncomfortable territory, right? It really is talking about like gender and race but I feel like anyone who's males, especially who are willing to kind of tiptoe into the fray and put their foot in there and say, okay, I'm going to talk about this. I hope I don't get my hands slapped. I think of that as an ally. Anyone who's willing to say, this is something we need to have a conversation about. And I'm going to be the first to raise my hand and kind of put it out there. And Glenn Pash and I were talking about this. I was on his podcast. And I just think anyone who's willing to even have this conversation right now and be open to a discussion on it, in my mind, is an ally. Within the dealership, I think you can say that's where you get to specifics. So an ally within the dealership management would be, okay, we say we're female friendly. What does that mean? Are we creating development opportunities for women? Are we giving them further learning to help them develop their skills as leaders? Are we pairing them up with mentors, females that are higher up in the dealership that can mentor them? There's that word again, right? Mentor them up through the process. So I think within the dealership and tech companies, I'm sorry, I should just use dealerships. I think in both instances, the ally part comes in when, if you're in a position of power, you're actually putting like concrete things into your process and your daily life that's showing those women the growth path that they can get to the executive suite.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this is probably, to be really honest, this is not just a women or a diversity issue in our industry. This is like
an
overarching issue. This is a big time culture issue where we have to adjust this on a much larger scale even.
And then it will trickle down,
right? To the ways that we want it to affect every type of, you know, race, sex, gender, you know, creed, religion, all of that.
The flexibility for dads is just as important as moms. Like it's this whole work-life balance. It's the whole, like, how do we want our employees overall to feel, male or female? Like how do we want their lives to intersect with their work? And how do we make that valuable on both sides of the coin? Automotive traditionally is very, we're all type A, right, in this industry, which is great. We're hard chargers. Everybody wants to win. But how do you marry that with this new work-life balance that needs to happen? So I think that's the bigger issue, right, across the board, is how do we still win and make all the things about that aggressiveness that are great, but marry that with, like, how do we create some balance here, people?
Yeah, man, I've heard so many people, they get to the end of the road or the top notch, and they look back and they're like, man, I wish I would have made some different decisions that would have allowed me to love people, not just in the store or myself but outside of the store.
Yes. And
I think that's probably okay. I'm going to go back to something before I say this. I'm going to go back to something that you said.
I'm nervous. Like
allies being willing to tiptoe into the conversation.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because here's, I'll be just like gut level honest. Even just like having this podcast or having the diversity podcast or having this conversation, there is this fear of like, either I'm going to like absolutely trip over my own tongue, or I'm going to say something that if I was an editor, I would edit out, right? Or anything like that, right? And so I say this with that same fear and trepidation. But I think probably if we look at the wide stereotype and long history of stereotype between that men and women specifically, there is a greater attention to, I mean, your podcast is care-rearing, right? C-A-R-E.
Yeah, right.
Attention, because there is a greater attention to that level of care. Like we are, like in our dealership, like we've got a couple people that we like call the mama of the dealership. And it's for a reason, because there's an intention toward that type of care for that gender. And it's probably one of the barriers to our industry that gender sees, that there has to, to be in the industry, you have to somewhat remove that element of care in order to fit well within the industry, because there's men or other people that have removed that in order to succeed. And I don't think that that's a necessity, but I think that I'm just thinking out loud, that may be a barrier. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I think, and I'm so glad you're not tripping over your words at all. I mean, I think women bring more of a nurturing quality to their work. That's just true. That's just the way it works. And so I think there is a barrier. And I think I've had a lot of guys tell me throughout my career, oh, you're such a good guy's girl. You're such a good guy's girl. And it's like, I used to actually think of that as a compliment. Now I'm kind of like, I don't know, I'm just like a female in automotive. So I think there's this idea that you're supposed to like act a certain way or do a certain thing. And I think if we broaden the scope, that nurturing, really good women generally are much better multitaskers. They're much better. Mm. Like imagine if you were to bring that nurturing side to, there's all types of buyers. So there's gotta be some buyers who need that are walking in the door, who don't want the aggressive type A right on top of you. And so I just think there's room for everyone, right? And so the ability to bring anyone in and have them be their true authentic self and sell in that way for success has got to be a good thing for business.
Yeah. It has to be. I think I might've brought this up in like way too many spaces currently. I've met this new guy through LinkedIn and Clubhouse named Joshua Lee. And he says like, we got to get rid of the term B2B and B2C, right? We got to be H to H. We got to be human to human.
I love that.
Oh yeah, I know, right? You're so like going to go find him after this. Yeah. So we got to be human to human. And unfortunately, what we do is we say, in order to be a part of this, you've got to be a little less human.
Yes.
Or not just like a little less overarching human, but a little less of the human that you are.
Yes.
And what I want and what I desire, and I think you're saying the same thing here, is like, no. I need the human that you are to be a part of what we are so that we is not me, it's us.
Yeah. Well, and bring your
unique... That was a lot of pronouns.
That's a lot of... I'm glad you kept that all together. Yeah. No, I think it's the key is like, bring the things that make you unique and special to the table. And let's use those to go kick some ass, right? Can I say ass? I don't know. Go kick some butt at business, right? I mean, that's funny. That's getting back to careering. Originally, it's like, just what lights you up? What can you do that lights you up? And then go use that and go kick some butt, you know? And it's the same thing. It's the same thing in business.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
But I think you have to get, but I got to a point where I feel confident in where I am in my career and in my industry to where I was able to be ready to let that be seen. So that kind of goes back to our mentorship discussion. Yeah. Like, how can we support younger people coming up through the ranks and say, look, just go be yourself and it will all work out fine.
Yeah. You know, when I'm going to go somewhere with this, but when I first started in the industry, it was kind of this like, okay, I've got one foot in, this is cool. We'll try it out. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But my eyes are going to go that way. And I'm going to look over there because I'm wondering, I'm just still a little bit trepidatious about this. And I think my encouragement, and I encourage a lot of people with this, is what would it look like if you just jumped in? And I think you said that just now, like I had to get to this point where I was like, oh, I'm comfortable in this career and I'm not just always eyes looking out.
Right.
And so when people, like if you are a woman or a man or whoever that is coming into this industry going, are they really gonna, or is it gonna be, or will I be? It's gonna, all of those things are gonna come to fruition a lot quicker is if you go like, to the deep end first,
totally
jump in, as opposed to like going to the kiddie pool and putting two toes in, wondering if the deep end will ever come to you.
Yeah.
And I think it's people like you that are like calling others to that, like, come on, let's go.
Yeah. And maybe you jump in and it is absolutely not for you. Maybe you're like, whoa, this industry is not liking what I'm here to reveal or to sell. And then that's fine. Go to the next industry. But I think the key is like, if you're jumping all in and if you're being authentic from the beginning, you're going to be so much further ahead toward getting where you're supposed to be than just dipping your toe in. I mean, jump in, be yourself, be authentic. And then, you know, you'll find out so much faster if you're supposed to be here or not. And automotive is one of those industries that you find out right away if it's a fit or if it's not. Absolutely. And the other thing I always say that's so funny, I'm sure you found this, you do not get out of automotive. So if automotive's in your blood, you just keep getting pulled back in. Like you never leave. You never leave.
Lori, it's a really, really good industry.
It is.
I mean,
and the people are so fun.
So much of us well. Like,
I know.
We need to talk more about how good it is and not how like it is. You know what I mean?
Totally,
like, just
agree.
As an industry, we just need to get more excited about it so other people get excited.
I totally agree. This is like Joe Tura was my hero right before the Super Bowl because of all the stuff he was doing for the Vroom ad. I mean, I think this is just a perfect example of like, why is everyone giving our industry such a hard time? Our industry rocks. The people in this industry are amazing. And so I'm with you. Like, why aren't we cheerleading our own industry more?
Yes. Like,
yeah. So,
like, how cool would it be if like we were throwing parties for the dealership down the street that just crushed records?
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
How
that would
cool.
be incredible.
That would be next level. That's my new mission in life. Like, I'm going to throw a party for the Nissan
dealer. Okay, you go throw a party and then come back and tell us how it went.
It's going to be awkward. It's going to be so awkward, but it's going to be good.
We may not be there yet.
Yeah, we're a little far away from that. But I think that that's the mindset, is this working. And it's just going to be better for everyone, because more people are going to want to do business in an environment like that.
Yeah. You know, and isn't it sad? You probably get this a lot. I get this a lot. With people who don't know me well, they think that my encouragement, my enthusiasm, and like, they think it's fake. And it's like, no, this isn't fake. This is, I just want everybody to rise together. I don't have any plan B for any of this, other than just if we all rise together, the better off everyone is.
Yeah. That is so cool. That is so cool. Okay. So just another like super practical question.
Yeah.
When you think of good entry points, so maybe someday, right, 2 years from now, there's someone that's a woman in another industry that's hearing this because someone sent it to them as a podcast, and they're yes. like, wow, women in automotive. I didn't think that that was a possibility. I've never even thought of that as an industry that I could be a part of. Now I'm thinking about it. And Lori is about to lay out some entry points, hopefully.
Yes.
I'd love to get your thoughts on like really good entry points for women in automotive that maybe have never thought about it before. And I think like any entry point is a good entry point. There are so many, but like, where would you key in on to encourage women to go, these are entry points that you may not have thought of before, but I want to encourage you to press into?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously sales is the biggest one, right? If you're good at selling, if you're good at relating to people, because really that's all selling is knowing how to relate to people, then I would really encourage women to go into sales, because I've heard, and if you want to make money, right? I mean, there's so much money in automotive. Like, if you're good at sales, sales and automotive is a place where you can completely take care of your family from that standpoint, moving into that position. I think service, and Lisa Borges, I just probably butchered her name, but she's done a great job with this with service. She has a ton of female techs in service. Mm. I think that's an awesome spot to go. Most of the women I've talked to, though, it has been through sales manager, general manager. I learned this the other day from CareerWise, there's four owners of minority status in automotive. Four female.
Four
minority owners. Wow. Four. Like, what? How do we've got to get that number up. That's insane. But yeah. I think the easiest is probably sales, into sales management, and then into executive management.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how most of the women I know have made their kind of mark.
I absolutely agree. I see a big opportunity there. I actually said probably, 6 years ago, I said I was a sales manager at that point. And I said to the sales manager next to me, we were kind of building out a team. And I said, what would it look like if we just only hired women from now on into sales? Like, could we do it? Could we figure that out? And both he and I were like, I don't know. We wouldn't.
And then you're stepping into the other landmine, right? Of like, why are they just hiring women? What's that all about? What's that mean? You know? And so it's just like, I think, again, it goes back to like the people that you're bringing in. But I say, look, at the end of the day, can you find someone who connects well with people? Because whoever that person is, male or female, they're going to crush it.
Yeah.
That's, the key.
Yeah. Well, let's just hire the right people, not the people that we like.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Exactly right.
I was so mad one day. I had a former employee. He was like, oh man, every time we know someone comes into an interview with Kyle and they like soccer, they're hired. Like, no, that's not it. I mean, I love soccer and I love people that like soccer, but that's not it. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hire the right person for the job. And mm-hmm. no matter who that is, we just need to be open and available for that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a big deal. Okay. So we've gone dealership a lot. So go back to tech.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So on the tech side, where have you seen, tech companies that you, 'cause you have a lot of great relationship with tech companies.
Yeah.
Where have you seen tech companies really win in this arena and do a really good job at hiring, training, and developing women? Because I think there's a lot that we can learn on the dealership side from
that. Yeah, marketing for sure is like one of the, for whatever reason, the marketers I know, especially female marketers, are just crushing it. And again, I think it's just, they know the messaging. They know what's going to connect with folks most often. That kind of detail-oriented element that we went back to. And let me tell you, I'm the least detail-oriented person you know. So as I'm saying this, there are definitely across the board, each person is different. But I think that detail-oriented aspect really helps in that regard. So I've met the most amazing women who, and generally they come, I get to know them through a marketing role just due to the fact that I'm in PR. But, and I'm thinking through, like, what had you originally asked me?
No, that's good. That's marketers, good.
But you were saying, like, what would be, where can women kind of plug themselves into the tech companies?
Yeah. Well, and I think, interestingly enough, a lot more dealerships are realizing that the marketing message can't just be owned by the GM, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so I think there are that's going to probably translate over the next like 3 to 4 years pretty well into the dealership side, where more, not just, I mean, the larger automotive groups, the 15 plus and 100 plus, they have full marketing departments, right? And there's a lot of diversity in there, but I'm talking about the 1s, 2s, and 3s size stores that are giving that opportunity in that space, which is potentially like a really good entry level position.
Yes. But
then, and you said this, right? You said you got to give them a career path. So when people are thinking, oh, I'm going to create this marketing position, you cannot silo yourself into thinking just because they started in marketing that either that's the end game or now we've got to push them back through like a entry level position, even though they've been here 5 years, to get them to that next level. That career path may look different than we've thought of it in the past.
You're absolutely right. And you know what's interesting? Here's what's coming out. And I've met a number of women now who have done this career path. Marketing, right? And then digital marketing manager, which is like digital social media and all of the digital buying and stuff across dealership groups. And then that then launches them up to internet sales manager to general sales manager. So I think that digital, like, it's interesting to see from marketing to digital manager to sales manager. And that digital piece is really interesting because you are still working with internet leads. So that's what's the interesting thing that's bridging the gap now.
Yeah.
Sales and marketing is that digital lead that's coming in.
That's really cool. All right. So we could talk about this for hours, but I want to give you kind of like the one last speaker piece type thing.
Okay.
If you could, and I want you to specifically talk to the women that are listening to this, that have just started in the industry, that maybe they like just got to start, that maybe they're within that first year and they're still going, not really sure. Should I stick it out? Should I stay in this? Is it the right place to be? What's your encouragement for them?
Yeah, I just say find the group of women. And I'm specifically referring to women here because I found mine through men, but find your group of women that are going to support and encourage you, because that really does make it so much easier and better as you move your way up the ranks. So find the group of women. And the nice thing is, it's no longer just personal, right? I mean, we just talked about LinkedIn has created this amount of connections in the last year that I never even had before 2020. So now with LinkedIn and all these other social media groups, there's so many resources. Clubhouse just introduced an Women in Automotive Clubhouse group.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's so many opportunities now. So connect and like plug into those opportunities to work and learn from other women and be supported by other women. And that just makes, and really that's for anything, right? On the tech side or the dealership side, I think that's just going to make the whole journey so much easier and more fun along the way.
Yeah.
So I would say, go find your people. Go find your people and connect into them.
I think that's really good. I mean, if you're on Clubhouse, the Women in Automotive Club, there's, I think, a couple Facebook groups that
there are. Yes.
That you may know them better than I, but search that, find that, dive into that. I know that you would probably love someone to reach out and connect with.
Yeah, I'm totally open to anyone reaching out. You know, probably the best way is on LinkedIn, but at Lori Halter, reach out. Like I'm a part of so many different groups that are female empowerment groups in automotive, and they're very open to all members. And there's even women who come to me sometimes looking to see if I know of anyone who needs a mentor, someone who would like a little hand up. So definitely reach out to me. I'm very open to that. And I just encourage them to, like we said at the beginning, just be your authentic self, bring the things that make you unique and awesome to that role. And even if automotive doesn't work out, at least you know automotive doesn't work out. Just bring your full self to that position.
Yeah, that's really good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I think she kind of threw the, you can connect with her on LinkedIn. Tell us one more time about the podcast, where we can find that.
Yeah. So you can find the Careering Podcast on any of the streaming sites. And again, that really talks about how women, the rear part is the R-E-A-R. So it's rearing your career and your families and your home life all at the same time. And I'd love for them to check it out.
I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for hanging out today. I've so thoroughly enjoyed the conversation and hope to continue it offline and online and with anyone that would love to join us for sure.
Yes, definitely. Thanks so much, Kyle.
Yeah. Wow. If you are not connected with Lori, you have to hit her on LinkedIn, find her podcast. She is such an encouraging personality in person. I don't think I've ever seen her without a smile. There probably are times, but she always seems to have a smile about her. And I got to witness that throughout our conversation. Again, this has been Contagious Podcast, Contagious Conversations for Automotive Innovation. If you love this conversation or any of the conversations that we've had on the podcast in the past, please go like, share, comment, engage, share this with someone else. Pass on the information that you heard today. Have a conversation with someone in the dealership. Maybe it's even just jumping on Clubhouse and having that conversation. You can join us every Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern to continue the conversation and join it. But otherwise, we need you. You are a leader in our industry. If you're listening to this podcast, you have the capacity to help us innovate, to help us grow. So I want to encourage you to do that, to get involved, to get your hands dirty, to have the conversations that push us forward as an industry. Thank you again. Look forward to the next time. Again, this is Contagious Podcast, and we'll see you next time.